Welcome, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. This is Brother Jimmy Fortunato, and you're listening to a sermon from the Pilgrim Baptist Church in Tennessee. For more information about our church, please visit us on the web at pilgrimbaptist.church.
All right, let's prepare our hearts, bow our heads in prayer, please. Dear Lord, keep us, keep our hearts pure. Help us to have heavenly motives. Lord, help us to have a heart of pure motives. Help us to keep an eternal perspective. Help us to learn from your scripture this morning. We ask in Jesus Christ's name, amen. All right, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, the Bible says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." That's what Paul says. That's what he was. That's what we are. We need a Savior. Jesus Christ, the little baby lying in the manger, isn't threatening the people. But Jesus Christ came to save people from their sins. That is the Savior we need. Let's get 2 Corinthians chapter number 4 and John chapter number 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and John chapter 1. We're going to talk about Jesus Christ as the light of the world. And our first point this morning is that the gospel of Jesus Christ should serve as your guiding light and as your family's guiding light. Jesus Christ is that light. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, verse number 3. The Bible says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost." That in and of itself should compel us to want to tell others. "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not." Their eyes can't see. Their eyes have been blinded. "Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake." All right. The fruit of any true repentant sinner should be to preach Christ Jesus the Lord. He is the light that we all need. And you know what they didn't do, this Corinthian church? Or you know what Paul didn't do? It wasn't about silly traditions. It wasn't about themselves. It wasn't about doctrines of men. It wasn't about little pet things here and there. It was about preaching Jesus Christ. That's what people need. Jesus Christ is still the answer. People have a life of darkness. They need the light. That light's here. It's Jesus Christ. We can make Him known. Is your life directed by the source of the true light, Jesus Christ? I hope it is. I want mine to be. You know what else we see here? "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord." And ourselves, your servants, for Jesus' sake. Christians, saved people, should be duty-bound. Just like Paul, just like Timothy, they were duty-bound to make the light known. We should follow that example. That's what we should do. Verse number 5, the Bible says, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness." Another thing about the light, God commanded it. He said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Genesis chapter 1. And then the Bible says, "hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ, of Jesus Christ." Let's get our John chapter 1 verse. John chapter 1. Where is this light that every man needs? It's everywhere. Everywhere. John chapter 1. The Bible says in verse number 4, "In Him was life, and the light was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Darkness can't comprehend it, but it breaks right through. Any darkness in your life, any darkness in anybody's life, the true light can shine right through it. But notice a few things in this passage. What are we to do? What can we glean from this for a way of application? We are to bear witness of the light. That's what John did. And just like John, we are not the light. It is not about getting people to follow you or to follow a preacher or even to follow a denomination. Now, there's nothing inherently wrong with you or a preacher or a denomination. But if any of those things are set up where we're trying to get people to follow us or you or me or this or that, we have missed the boat. John clearly declares, look, I am not the light. It is not me. I am sent to bear witness of that light, and that light is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was the answer, is the answer, and will always be the answer. We need to point people to Jesus Christ and let the true light work in their hearts. Do we have the true light, Jesus Christ? We do. It's available to everyone. Let's make him known. Let's not make ourselves known. Let's get 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. If you want to stay out of darkness, if you want your children, if you want your family, if you want to stay out of darkness, you've got to declare that God is light. And then you have to purpose in your heart to walk in that light on a daily basis. 1 John chapter 1 verse 5 says, "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth." Does it say you lost your salvation? No, it says you're a liar. You're a liar. That's what the Bible says. Why? Verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, why is God calling us a liar? Because we are not walking in the light. But let me slow down a bit. But if we walk in the light, as he is the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. You want to get along with people? Walk in the light. You want to have Christian character? Walk in the light. Our character should resemble Jesus Christ. Are we going to have the same degree of light as Jesus? No. But it should be the same kind. We are made like unto him, right? We're saved. Our character should be Christ-like. That's the kind of light we should magnify. What we can't do is just make stuff up and say that we're walking in the light, because the Bible says, walk in the light, comma, as he is in the light. A lot of problems could be solved if we would just get off of our hobby horse and we would put our lightsaber down and we would do it as he would do it. Everybody wants to make what they have what God is and what God has. And I really, honestly, I want to be right with the light. But I also don't want to say what the Bible doesn't say. And I don't want to be what the Bible says not to be. I want to just say what God says and then let God's light work in my life, work in your life. I think that's the fairest, safest bet. It is. He is the light. He is the light. All right, let's continue. Verse 8. Here's a problem. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar. And His word is not in us. Is God a liar? He's not. He never lied, never will lie. He's not going to lie to you. Matter of fact, He's going to love you like no one could ever love you. Kids, you ever think, my dad don't love me. My mom don't love me. My grandmom don't love me. My teacher don't love me. No, I have. I've thought those thoughts. And maybe 1% of the time I was right and I wasn't being spoiled. But that's not so with God. He will love you better than anybody else can love you. That's why husbands and wives, well, my husband don't love me. My wife don't love me. And what we mean is they don't love us as much as we love us. That's what we mean when we say those things. And sometimes there's cases where, yeah, he just don't like her. He doesn't. But that's not so with God. It's not. He's going to love you. That's who He is. He is love. He died for you. What more do you want for definition of love? All right, but we can't say we have no sin, and we have to stop it with the I'm a good person type stuff. And we need to be careful as we're witnessing. Someone starts with the I'm a good person. Let's take them down that trail and let's see if they measure up. Because once they see they're a sinner and they need a Savior, God's light should be able to shine in their life. All right, Ephesians chapter 5. Let's move on. How do you protect yourself? How do you protect your family? You have to, you must reprove darkness. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 6, the Bible says, "Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. But not ye therefore partakers with them. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For you were sometimes darkness, but now you are light in the world. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness and righteousness and truth." You know, the Bible says the goodness of God leadeth to repentance. God's a good God. In Romans 2, that is phrased as a question like, don't you know this stuff? It's the goodness of God. You know, all types of darkness is going to try to sneak in. And it's going to try to sneak into your home. It's going to try to sneak into your life in a variety of ways. And it may come right on your phone, on your cell phone. Something dirty, something wrong, something inappropriate. It may come on the computer screen, something wrong or dirty or inappropriate. You've got to reprove that. You've got to say, I don't want that. That's not coming in here. And not just in your home. That's not coming in here, here, here. Through your eyes, in your mind, in your heart. You got to reprove it. You hear dirty stuff. You hear dirty talk. You hear bad jokes. You hear something you're not sure you should be listening to. It's going to come in here. It's going to go in here. It's going to drop in here. This will be real hard to get rid of. So you got to be real careful what your ears hear. Darkness wants to get in your life. Jesus Christ, the light of the world, I'm telling you, you fall in love with Him, you're going to hate darkness. And you are going to love the light. Verse number 10, look what it says. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. You think drinking's acceptable unto the Lord? Drinking liquor? No. You think cussing and fussing is acceptable to the Lord? No. You think some of this horrible music that's out there that are going in the little kids' heads is acceptable unto the Lord? No. I'm telling you, I see kids all over this coast at tournaments when I go and observe what's happening. 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12-year-olds with the buds in. Nothing wrong with that. With the iPhone or pad or pod. Nothing wrong with that. But the way they carry themselves, the way that that music or whatever that is that they're listening to makes them walk. What do you read the Bible all day and then end up walking like, you know, I don't get it. What makes kids do what they do? What makes adults do what they do? Hear it? See it? They think it? They act it. Half the kids wouldn't be dressing like they'd be dressing out there in the world if they didn't have Hollywood movies and rock and roll or rap, hardcore rap music. They wouldn't. Now, when I was growing up, the big movie was Top Gun. Tom Cruise now has his whole religion now that he can sell to, but you know how much money Ray-Ban glasses, sunglasses made? People saw something on the movie screen. They fell in love with the movie star. And they guess what they wanted to do? They wanted to be like that movie star. And you know what they did? Ray-Ban glasses made millions of dollars because everybody wanted to be like Tom Cruise because he's cool and he gets the girls. That's what happened. We need to be careful. Somebody can catch a football? Good. Nothing wrong with football. But if you want to be like that person and not like Jesus Christ, that you've got an idol. Get out of the darkness. Get into the light. We've got to prove what is acceptable to the Lord. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Don't pay attention. Just don't get out of there. And then the Bible says, but rather, reprove them. Be like Jesus. When he came, you know who he beat up on the most? Religious people. Pharisees. Look at me. I'm religious. I'm a Pharisee. That's what he's saying. And a Pharisee loves to show people that he's religious, but he's got no heart for God. Also, we got to be careful. We don't want to be like the modern day preacher where they say, don't worry about anything. We're not going to teach you the Bible. We're not going to have Bible studies. We're not even going to teach you doctrine. Just come on and we'll just love each other and have a big old time. And you know what? We're going to get as close to the darkness as we can and still kind of try to call this church. We need to be careful of that trap as well. And you read the book of Matthew, it's woe, 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 woe unto you, the Pharisees. It's about 12 or 13 where Jesus just nails the Pharisees. He lets them have it. Woe unto you. They're trying to be Mr. Spiritual. And Jesus says, get that junk out of here. Now there's a ditch on each side. There's the Pharisee. We fall off that cliff. We're Mr. and Mrs. Spiritual on everything. And nobody can tell you nothing because you got a message from God. It's you and God texting each other, and everybody else, you know, you're just not tuned in. But then there's the other cliff. No Bible, no doctrine. We don't even want Bible studies. Matter of fact, leave your Bible at home. There's two cliffs. We need to be careful. Let's get in the middle and try to be right in the middle of God's will. Verse 12 says, for it is a shame even to speak of these things which are done in them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whosoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. We need to wake up. This is not talking about unsaved people. This is saved Christians talking to believers. Most of us, most believers, they are in a spiritual sleep. As we're around sinners, as we're around publicans, as we're around the world that is spiritually dead. And they need the light. We need to get that light to them. We need to get them to Jesus Christ. Then the awakening comes. But until then, no awakening. All right, let's get John 9 and Ecclesiastes 9. John 9 and Ecclesiastes 9. We have a very short window of opportunity to tell people about Jesus Christ, that light that came into the world, that light that can guide our life. John 9 and Ecclesiastes 9. We'll do John 9 first. Verse number 1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither had this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh, when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Jesus Christ had the opportunity then. He comes, made manifest in the body of flesh. How long did he walk the earth? Not very long. 33 and a half years. He's got a short opportunity to be on that earth as Jesus manifest in the body of flesh. And before he heals this man, he lets him know that his life here on earth is coming to a close. Day represents his life. Night represents his death on the cross. Check this out. Get Ecclesiastes 9. It's a bit of a picture here. Get Ecclesiastes 9. Verse number 9. Live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest. That's for us fellows. All the days of the life of thy vanity, which he hath given thee under the sun, all the days of thy vanity, for that is thy portion in this life, and in thy labor which thou takest under the sun. Right now, during this lifetime, we'll be able to work. Right now, here on earth, we'll have an opportunity to labor. And to some extent, one way, shape, form, or another, we're going to enjoy a life of vanity. That's what Ecclesiastes is saying. During the day, when you're here, during this life, you can work and you can labor. Now it goes on. Watch what it says. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whither thou goest. After you die, that's it. No more work, no more labor, no more opportunity. In this life, right now, during the day, in this life, you and I have opportunity. In the grave, we have no more opportunity to tell anybody about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was on this earth for a short time. He came to do what he said he was going to do, which was die on the cross and pay for our sins. There was a short window of opportunity for people to be around Jesus, for him to heal a blind man and all the miracles that he wrought. Books can't fill, right? Is he doing that now? No. He's not. He's in heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father. He had an opportunity. We have an opportunity. What are you and I doing here on earth for Jesus Christ? Look at verse 4. The Bible says, let's get John 9. Back to the John 9 passage. And look at verse number 4 in John 9. The Bible says, I must work the works of him that sent me. How about you? With our short opportunity, how about us? Do we have that? We must go out and preach the gospel. We must get it out to the lost. He had limited time on earth. We have limited time here on earth. Nothing discouraged Jesus Christ from doing His work. How about you and I? Are we easily discouraged? Now look at verse number 2. And the Bible says, He was blind from His birth. Now jump down to verse number 6. John 9:6, and it says, when He had thus spoken, He spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and He anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. Spits, that can't be clean. Dirt, that can't be clean. Mixing it together, and that can't be clean. None of that's sanitary. Look at verse number 7. And said unto Him, go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went His way therefore and washed and came seeing. You think that clay, you think that spittle had anything to do with that man's eyes being healed? It was the power of Jesus Christ, the true light, that gave that man light to see out of his dark blind eyes. It shows and pictures Christ as the light. Are you willing to follow the light? Jesus says, hey, go jump in the pool. You know what He did? He argued with him. No, He didn't. He went. He followed Him. He didn't ask, well, why? Why do I have to do this? Why do I have to do that? Why do you got to put clay on my eyes? Isn't that dirty? Isn't that unclean? Why do you got to? We need to shut our mouth and just obey God because we desire Him. Now, if my wife asked me to go and plant some flowers and dig some mulch, I might ask why, but I shouldn't. I should have the desire to want to make her happy. We're happy. Everybody's happy. Now, fellas, if we were to tell our wives, can you make me my favorite pie? She might say, well, why? I got other stuff to do. Laundry. Kids are fussing. I want to lay down. And they might say that. But wouldn't it be nice if the desire was there to want to make the pie? The point is, as husbands and wives, we should desire to want to make the other person happy. And there's times, look, we're all worn out, but Jesus Christ doesn't get worn out. And I know there's times when we get worn out to want to do something for Him. But if He says, go out into all the world and preach the gospel, if we're commanded to do that, I make fuss sometimes. But I really do. I want to have the desire more to give somebody a gospel tract, to tell them about Jesus, to let them know who the true light is, to guide their light and their family. I do. I'm sure you do too. All right, let's get John 9, and let's go down to verse number 8. And you can't worry about the said sums and the others said and they said. You can't worry about those people. Look what happens here. In verse number 8, the neighbors therefore, and they which before had seen Him, that He was blind, said, is not this He that sat and begged? Now check this out. Some said, this is He. Others said, He is like Him. But He said, I am He. Therefore said they unto Him, how were their eyes opened? He answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. Watch what He did. And I went and washed, and I received sight. This man obeyed. He did what Jesus asked him to do. Then said they unto Him, where is He? He said, I know not. They brought to the Pharisees. Oh, here we go. Pharisees, boy. Him that aforetime was blind, and it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened His eyes. And again, the Pharisees also asked Him how He had received His sight. He said unto them, He put clay upon my eyes, and I washed and do see. Therefore, said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. Look at this. In this 8 through 16, you'll see, said some, said they, others said, what did Jesus say? You can't worry about what other people say. You can't worry about they said. You can't worry about the others. I want to know, what does the Bible say? You want to know, thus saith the Lord, and if Jesus says it, that's enough for me. That should be enough for you. God said it, I'm going to do it. He said, as long as I am the world, I am the light of the world. Follow Jesus. Follow Jesus. Okay. Anybody, I have a friend or two that's blind. I don't have to tell him that he's blind. And you and I can see. We don't have to tell each other every day, oh yeah, you can see. We don't. If you're saved, if you're born again, nobody should have to tell you, yeah, by the way, you're saved. Oh yeah, you are. You know that you know that you know you're saved. Just like if a blind man gets healed and now he can see, nobody ever has to go to that guy and say, by the way, stop walking into the wall. Do you know you can see now? You never have to tell that man. And if you get saved, nobody ever has to tell you, don't go into that darkness. You're saved. Don't you know that Jesus? You should not ever have to tell that man, because he should know that he knows that he knows. You are so great. Repeat this prayer. Pull my finger. You're born again. That's the modern day gospel. There's no shedding a tear. There's no wrestling over sin. There's no fighting over your sin condition. Just 1, 2, 3, ABC, repeat after me, you're in the kingdom. You're born again. Ladies know, birthing is not easy. There is a period of wrestling. There is a period of anguish. There is a period of crying. That baby is born. Nobody has to ever tell you. Do you know you have a baby? No. The same way, no one should ever have to tell you and try to convince you that you are born again, because you know you wrestled over your sin condition. You knew that there was something between you and God. I don't know. Maybe you're an enemy of God. Maybe you're at enmity with God and you wrestled with that. And you searched the scriptures, and someone told you about your sin condition. Someone preached to you Jesus Christ, and you went home and you struggled. You got a gospel tract and you read it and you struggled. You put it aside and you came back. There was a true wrestling with sin and your condition. Boom! Then you're born again. No one ever has to tell you that you receive the true light. No one ever has to tell you to follow that light to guide your family, because you know. You know why so many young people can't live in the light and live for Jesus Christ? Because they were 4 or 5, 6, 7 or 17 years old, and some false pansy preacher with a slick haircut told you that you're so wonderful. And if you would just repeat this prayer, I could sign your Bible. And you'll be saved. He knows nothing of his sin condition. And we have people walking around that think they're in their light, that they're not in the light, because they were talked into something, and now they have to continually be talked into something. If we're in the true light, we should lose the bitterness, the sour attitudes, the selfishness, the anger. We've got the light of the world. We're not going to hell. Let's not fill church pews. We've got Jesus Christ as our light. Have you come out of the darkness and into the light? I have. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. This sin-cursed world, it's filled with blindness and it's filled with darkness. And a blind man, he can walk right over a pile of diamonds, not even know, because he doesn't see it. And this world, this sin-cursed world, and mankind in its lost condition, he'll walk right over God's word because he doesn't see it. He sees no value in God's word, just like a blind man that walks over a pile of diamonds because he can't see it. We see the value that we want to see. And until that person comes in contact with the true light, he's in darkness and he's blinded. And it's our job as Christians, as saved people, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Are we filling the church seats on Sunday morning? And then ESPN is our path light? Or Fox News is our path light? Or NASCAR is our path light? Just fill in the blank. Are any of those things wrong? No. Am I saying don't do them? I'm not. What I'm saying is, does that guide your path? Then how do you expect this lost world to see any value in what you have when you claim the name of Jesus Christ, yet something else guiding your path? Psalm 51 and Matthew 1. We're going to close. You kids are doing great. I appreciate you sitting so long. I know that you're doing a great job, and I appreciate that. Psalm 51, the Bible says about you, and he says about me, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. We were all conceived in sin. And here's a fun fact. December 17th to December 23rd, pagans have always celebrated Saturnalia. They worship the sun god, and they worship that sun god in seasons. The winter solstice is the season now. So from the 17th to the 23rd, the sun is at the greatest distance from the earth. The physical sun, that is. And during that time, from the 17th to the 23rd, pagans are known to do the most amount of sinning. Sin abounds, and they do as much of it as they can because that's how they worship, that's how their worship is created. Now, check this out. Get Matthew chapter 1. Nobody knows these dates for sure. Jesus wasn't born on December 25th. I think everybody can agree on that. But we don't know for sure when Jesus was born. Best guess, September. But nobody can say dogmatically when exactly Christ was born because the Bible doesn't say. But if he was born in September, there would have been something that happened in December, right about the time the pagans were worshiping their sun god, from the 17th to the 23rd, as the sun grows the longest distance, as the physical sun grows the longest distance from the physical earth, something would have happened right around that time. And look what it says in verse number 18, which I think is pretty neat. If Jesus was born in September, something happened in December. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. We learned that word earlier. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife. Check this out. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. We were conceived in sin. Mary, conceived by the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a child and shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. It sure be neat if where the Bible says, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, where God sends the true light into the world, in that womb of Mary into the world, at the time when pagans are doing their greatest amount of sinning, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Sin abounds. The true light conceived by the Holy Ghost in Mary. Wherever darkness is, the true light can cut through. It doesn't matter the time. It doesn't matter the season. It doesn't matter the day. If you're blinded and can't see, if you're in the darkness, Jesus Christ is that light. Luke 1:31, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. And anybody, there's room at the cross if you're not saved. And anybody should know, everybody should know, there's still time to be saved. That's why the Bible says that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in earth, and things of under the earth, and whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. His name is Jesus Christ. He is the true light. He is the Savior. He is the only Savior. And it doesn't matter how much sin you have done. It doesn't matter if you've grown up in a pagan home or a Christian home, you are a sinner, and Jesus Christ, His light, can save you from your sin, no matter how much you've reveled in it or how much little you think you've done. He is willing, able, and wants to save you. Would you bow with me, please? Father God, thank You for sending Your Son into the world as the only Savior, the only cure for our sin condition. Lord, we appreciate the little ones being here and paying attention so well. We thank You for Your word. Help us to remember, especially this season and time of year, that Jesus Christ is the one to get excited about. He's the one that gave us the greatest gift. Help us never to forget why He came. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks a bunch for listening. For more information about Pilgrim Baptist Church, be sure to visit us online at pilgrimbaptist.church, where you can also send me a personal message or learn more about joining us for a church service. And remember, Christ is all.